This is Healthcare Now Radio's Trending Now. Get ready for an exhilarating 30-minute ride through the latest topics driving change in digital health across the news and social media. Join us as our subject matter host takes the lead in uncovering what's hot and what's not. So buckle up and tune in to stay in the know.
Welcome to Trending Now on Healthcare Now Radio, where we explore the forefront of healthcare innovations and transformations. I'm your host as usual, Shahid Shah. Today, we're really thrilled to have Bevi Miner, EVP of Healthcare Strategy and Policy at Consensus. And what's trending now, and what Bevi and I are going to discuss, are the challenges and innovations in managing the growing volume of unstructured data in healthcare, and really all of the data entry burdens that it introduces. So Bevi's going to tell us a little bit about what all those are, how to reduce them, deploy really cutting-edge technologies to help address these issues. So join us here as we welcome Bevi. It's a great honor to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, thank you. I'm excited to be here as well. So I have been in the health IT industry for about 25 years and trying to solve this same problem of interoperability that we all keep talking about today. But I think we've got some pretty good advances moving forward. Once we can recognize that we have a plethora in healthcare of unstructured data, we can do something about it. I have been at, you know, three different EHR companies, the big ones, Allscripts, Practice Fusion, and NextGen. And, you know, connecting EHRs to EHRs has always been a real critical issue for us. I've been in digital health and patient engagement. I'm on the policy side, so I'm trying to help drive rulemaking and regulations to not enforce, but encourage data to be shared so that it can have a, you know, a meaningful impact on the way we treat our patients today. So I'm excited to be here. This is something I'm very passionate about, and hopefully in my lifetime we'll solve it.
Absolutely. So it looks like, of course, you started in this industry when you were 10 years old. So that's why
you got to be telling everybody. When I was 10.
So let's dive right in into what are some of the unobvious things that people don't think about when they think about unstructured data? So we know about clinical data, we know about labs, and we know about patient demographics. But when you say unstructured, expand on that a bit.
So if you've got a complete connected network, you've got Epic talking to Epic, you are pulling structured data out of your EHR and you're sending structured data to be consumed because it naturally maps into a receiving EHR. What we really have, because that's a nice to have, but it doesn't really happen in our healthcare system today, is we've got a receiving end problem. So out of our EHRs, we're sending information. But how is that really being received? Is that being received at a skilled nursing facility that does not have an EHR? Or is that being received or attempted to be received at a home health company or assisted living or even out into the outer circles of clinical care in our rural settings? So no matter what we are trying to send, we have failed to recognize that the receiving end may not be able to get that kind of data in a manner that they can react to and do so quickly so that we are not disrupting continuity of care or patient treatment. So that's what I think we need to recognize, is how bad this is on the receiving end. And we failed to do that.
Yeah. And it sounds like we failed to do that primarily because as senders, we just assume that if we're sending out an HL7 message or a FHIR message, that they're receiving it that way. But obviously, in most cases, they're receiving a PDF document. Maybe a fax is coming out. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I mean, so Consensus flagship product is digital cloud faxing. It's called eFax. It's considered the F word in healthcare because it's, there is this attempt to say we just have to get rid of faxing. Well, we know we need to get rid of the paper fax machine. That has all sorts of problems. But once we can go digital with anything, I mean, if you go back to the days when we first introduced electronic health records, our attempt was to get off of paper files and to get that in a digital format, an electronic format, so that you could have patients' records sitting and reachable within a digital environment. We had no idea that once we went digital with data, structured data inside an EHR, that we would able to do population health, predictive analytics, be able to have clinical decision support built in. I worked for Allscripts during those times. So it really reminds us that we have to go to the next level of digital maturity in healthcare, and that's cloud faxing. It happens all the time. And we have to recognize that we're not going to get rid of that unstructured data. But what to do about it is what we're here to talk about today. If you push it all under the carpet and just say, fax? What fax? We don't have a fax issue. We don't fax. We send structured data. You're missing the point of the receiving end. And there's some really, good modern technologies today that we'll talk about later on that don't require a lot of heavy lifting in order to create that, interoperable data sharing. But I think the issue from unstructured to structured data is to recognize there is unstructured data. And we do 4 billion pages of faxes every year in healthcare. So we know that just us, there's a lot of PDF documents being shared.
Yeah. So one of the things that I see, especially as I'm a software engineer, so that I think about this is there are systems designed for machine to machine communication, like things like HL7, FHIR, et cetera. And then there are things that are machine to human and then human to human. The vast majority of the data is still human to human or machine to human. And so in those cases, when you're dealing with machine to human, of course, it's got to be fax because there's really nothing else that we have that meets the ubiquity requirements of fax for that. So in that case, what are some very interesting use cases that you see people doing with fax today that even surprise you sometimes?
Well, you brought up a really good point. And I'm going to quote you at some point in time because I love doing takeaway notes because of how, challenging the machine to machine versus machine to human can be. And don't forget the phone call. Because when you have a case manager at a hospital that's trying to find some social, determinants of health services for a particular patient being discharged, they're calling Meals on Wheels. They're calling to find out if we can get a cleaning service into the home so you're not going to have a surgical site infection. So there's still this pick up the phone, which is really hard to do. So let's get back to the challenge is that when you do have a lot of unstructured data, and it can be scanned data, it can be TIFF images. I mean, it's not just digital cloud faxing that produces a PDF. A human does have to read it, and you have to have data entry done somewhere because it's got to be documented that lab result came in, even if it was on a PDF. Unstructured document, it's got to be attached to a patient's chart. It added to some sort of longitudinal record or history of treatment. And that requires data entry. Well, if you look at the condition that the healthcare industry is in today, post-pandemic, we have such a workforce burnout right now. We have nurses that are actually doing a lot of data entry. And that when you have data entry, you've got errors, you have tired people that are attaching information to the wrong patient's chart. We have all different kinds of issues that can happen when you have to take a document that's unstructured and a human has to pull out all that content and that data. And there's a lot of it. A recent NIH study came out that said 80% of all documents in healthcare are unstructured. 80%. Now, admittedly, many of those are images. But even still, another study that I saw read recently was that in the next 7 years, healthcare data will grow faster than any other industry because we produce so much of it and so much of it is unstructured. So we're not going to solve this problem overnight, but we have to recognize it. So the big question then becomes, so you've got an unstructured document, you have a PDF document, you want to avoid a human having to enter all that data somewhere. So how do we do that?
Yeah, no, it's a great, great question. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Healthcare Now Radio. This is Trending Now. I'm your host, Shahid Shah. And I'm having a really cool conversation with Bevy Miner at Consensus. We're trying to figure out how do we apply cutting-edge technology to unlocking the potential of unstructured data, which is still the majority of data. Unstructured just means, is it coming in as a PDF? Is it a fax? Is it an image? And she just quoted a good NIH statistic saying that almost 80%, if not more, of data in healthcare is still unstructured. So talk to us, Bevy, about if you have somebody using some of your tools, like what Consensus does for managing unstructured data versus a company that does not, what does patient care look like at a company that's receiving all of this but not doing the proper things with unstructured data versus at a healthcare institution that might be using your tools or anyone else's for managing unstructured data? What's the difference between those two organizations?
Well, so we, like I said, we still have the very simplest of digital maturity. Send a fax, receive a fax. When you do it in a digital format, we're high trust certified. Many of our, you know, many companies are high trust certified. You are still receiving it in some sort of a digital format, and it is very secure. And you get a receive notification. In order to get that data to be structured, we apply intelligent data extraction. Now, intelligent data extraction is a little bit different than a common segment of the industry called intelligent document processing, which is more about rules of processing data, RPA. This is just simply saying, look, I'm going to send a fax, but I want it to be mapped and received in a structured format to whatever that end system is. So what we do is we pull all structured data out of that fax with a product called Consensus Clarity. And that means we can pull all of the demographic information, we can pull the clinical information, and we can map it into a receiving system. It can be sent as FHIR, it can be sent as HL7, we can communicate NEXT12. So whatever that original document is, once you have that structured data in a JSON file, you can now have it mapped and send it to the receiving end. Now, there's one other really important, point to make about intelligent data extraction with the use of NLP and artificial intelligence is that there is a source document. Unlike generative AI, which is getting all the buzz today, that generates information and generates content that doesn't exist, outside of, analyzing large language models, you can always go back to a source. So what we present in our product is confidence levels to each individual field. So we know 100% that's John Smith, patient's name. We know 100% that our machine learning has been able to identify that's the address. Here's the patient's age. Here's their race. Here's their sex, their gender, whatever it might be that we're pulling on the demographic side. And then we can pull the clinical content, the CCD or any kind of clinical content, and we can put the confidence levels. If the receiving end says, unless that ICD-10 code is at a 90% confidence level, then I want a human to intervene. But if it is reaching that threshold of confidence, then you can start processing that in a much different way. Our artificial intelligence can read handwriting. We've gotten really good at urgence on a prior authorization, as an example. There's 30,000 forms that physicians have to deal with to do prior authorizations today. They're handwritten in many instances. They're handwritten from those that don't have a structured EHR that can all of a sudden consume and send a prior authorization. That's all unstructured data. We take that handwritten form, in many instances, it might say urgent across the top, and now it's presented as a JSON file with all that structured data. And the urgents are really important, and we've gotten pretty good at high confidence scores of urgent. Now, if you look at it and say, look, I'm not, it's not the threshold of ICD-10 or diagnosis code, we also send a complete payload that includes the original source document. So anybody can go back and take a look at it. we are not going to reach 100% accuracy on all that clinical content today, because machine learning, like large language models, the machine has to be trained, identify a form, recognize the form, and then be able to have the output. So the more forms, the more data our customers give us to actually train on a specific type of a form, we will get more and more and more accurate with that. Now, once you've got all that in a JSON file, let's take the prior authorizations use case, because that's one of our larger customers are using Consensus Clarity for this, is that they can set up their own rules that say, if we've identified an 80% confidence that says urgent, then that particular content for that prior authorization is going to get mapped to our urgent workflow. And no human has touched it. That speeds prior authorizations by huge multiples, because no one had to look at it. And you won't miss those urgents, what can be so detrimental to patient care when continuity is disrupted because you're waiting for an authorization. So that's a good example of how we can help speed treatment by doing structured data, from unstructured to structured data.
No, I love that example. In fact, if you think about the reality, right, lots of people are going to say, well, I already have the world's best EHR, put your name, whatever you want, as to whatever that is, and then I don't have to worry about any of this. Those people are lying to themselves or deluded, right? There is no scenario where even the world's best EHR within your own organization is going to handle all of this. So you really only have three choices, right? Choice number one is ignore all the data and don't put it into any systems, don't process it, right? That's crazy, because you'll get a lot of lawsuits. Second thing is data comes in through these multiple mechanisms like fax, et cetera. And then you have to find these humans, which today is a fantasy land. You're not going to find enough humans to handle this, or you have to use tech like what Consensus is building. Is that the real world as I'm laying these out, the options, or are there other options people can do as well?
No, I think there is. There's certain recognitions. I've talked to a number of large hospital CIOs about this unstructured problem, about this fax problem, and they go, I don't have that problem. Because they live in an academic medical center, an integrated delivery network within their circles. They may even own the skilled nursing facilities. They may even own some home health agencies. But when you start to go to the outer areas of care that can impact health equity, that's when we end up seeing this fall apart. Many of our customers are the birthing centers, the substance abuse centers, the rehab centers. Health equity is... it can only really make sense if you think about it from a tech equity standpoint. So even if you, as a large, you know, IDN, want to send a fire message, understand that upon discharge from that hospital, if you want an order or a referral to go to the substance abuse clinic, they don't have your Epic EHR. So you need to send that fire to fax, which we can do. We're a translator in the middle. We can go fire to fax, and we can go fax to fire. So that's the important piece, is to not ignore this data. You know, I was talking, rehearsing for a panel that we're doing at Vibe yesterday, and a great quote was that all the rules and regulations and TEFCA and QHINs and the movement towards fire is great. We get to a structured format, but you need data to put in there. You need the data so that it can be queried through a QHIN, so that it can be used for continuity of care. For, you know, you hear hospital systems, I'm all in on TEFCA, I'm all in on TEFCA, which is great. I mean, TEFCA is a legal framework that you will support the FHIR standard, but you need the data to support the FHIR standard. So if we ignore that 80% of this information, as we mentioned before, is unstructured, because we think, okay, everybody's going to live in a world of fire, that's going to be only structured data. What happens to the rest of that critical information? So we're excited to be at that pivotal stage. And I've talked to a lot of lawmakers and congressmen and senators as we go through some of this rulemaking, that you can't be so prescriptive that you say you can only send and receive out of your EHR in a fire message. And that was one of the quality requirements for the recent HTI1 rule for EHR developers, And for the quality metrics that physicians are usually paid off of is, do you do things the way we want you to do them, was that you can only send and receive out of your EHR in a fire message if you want to get the highest level of quality metrics. But I said, what are you going to do with the health equity side? I'm in an EHR and I absolutely need to have my patient get treatment in a rural setting that doesn't have that same level of connectedness. So we have been able to elevate this conversation and to really look at the pillars of how rules can affect what we do and make sure that translation innovation, like companies like what we do, and of course, we're not the only ones, can get in the middle and be able to take unstructured data, move it to structured, and send it as FHIR, X12, HL7. The recent advancing interoperability and prior authorization rule that just came out, that payers have to approve, deny, or respond to an authorization within 72 hours if it's urgent, 7 calendar days if it's standard, and use FHIR is the standard for requesting the prior authorization. But when you move out to Medicaid and how Medicaid is going to be receiving, how Medicaid needs to re-engineer, how they can turn around something in 72 hours, accepting only structured data, even CMS said, well, we may have to have some technical funding to make some of that happen. So I want to just kind of remind your listeners that as we come out with these really great technologies, whether it's Gen AI or, complete closed system, Epic talking to Epic, that we can't forget what we call those outer circles. And that's where companies like ours really make sure that the communication flows all along the patient's journey.
Yeah. And I think that that's a great way of putting it, is that last mile, as it were. We see the last mile problem in cable television and internet connectivity, and the last mile in rural settings is always the toughest, right? It's almost all the money that we spend is literally in that last mile. And I think that's what you're teaching us here in this conversation today, is that even when TEFCA is fully operating in its intended way, the best, let's just say by the end of this decade, every year we make significant progress and we move to 50% complete interoperability on structured data, flowing beautifully, no errors anywhere. What are you going to do with the other 50%, right? That's at the end of this decade, which means this is a long-term, multi-year problem that we have to continue to treat as a major requirement, primarily because the vast majority of the healthcare that we operate on in the field is in the last mile. And if the data doesn't get to the last mile, the healthcare isn't happening in the quality that we want it to. And that's great advice. So we've got a few minutes left in our conversation today. Tell us a little bit about, as you're talking to senators, you're talking to Congress people, do they understand this idea of this last mile problem? And if so, what do they see doing about it over the next few years?
Well, I think there's various levels of skills and understanding of interoperability amongst senior health policy leaders within our lawmakers. And those that get it and have been following it, they recognize there's a huge unstructured data problem, which is why we're trying to create some of these standards. They also understand that even though we have an unstructured data problem, we also have, there's no standards of forms. USCDI data set that's coming out is trying to standardize the clinical data set that needs to be shared. And as those are adopted, we now know that this is what has to be shared when a patient's journey goes from one care setting and transitions to the next. The other piece is really getting the unintended consequences recognized by some of the rules that we put in place. The proposed rule for the advancing interoperability and prior authorizations rule had 1,500 comment letters. Concern that we aren't testing this in real life scenarios, that the date to go live for this rule was January 1st of 2026, and that until we model it, we watch it, we understand how the impact is going to be, in those most vulnerable populations of patients, we won't be able to have that glow in the dark. So I'm all for rulemaking. We think the intent and the goals are absolutely right. We need to get to a standard of data sharing. We need to understand what data needs to be shared, which is the US CDI data set. But we also have to really implement in real life what these different kinds of rules are going to, the implications of those rules. And then I think it will be pretty obvious that, you know, I had somebody pretty high level at CMS say, because I said, you created this problem because you didn't give everyone an EHR. There was only the few haves that got EHRs. And so now we have all these providers and all these other care settings that did not even get an EHR. And the comment was, well, should we go back and ask for, you know, a few billion dollars of allocation so people can get EHRs? I said, no, you don't have to. The industry is stepping up. Companies like ours are going to interoperate in the middle. And we'll make sure that translation works so that patient care is not disrupted.
No, I love it. Thank you so much for all of this great advice today. I mean, we have to solve this problem of machine to human because it seems like all the lawmakers, policymakers forget that the machine to human is still a major, major problem. And great to see consensus helping with that. Before we finish up today, anything you'd like to share with respect to how to get more information about consensus and what it does?
We are going to be both at Vive and HIMSS. So we're doing some of these use cases at those shows, if any of your listeners happen to be there. Otherwise, we have, you know, a lot of information on consensus.com for those that would like to understand a little bit more how to solve this problem.
Awesome. Well, to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Trending Now. And we'll continue this engaging conversation at the conferences coming up. Stay tuned for more episodes. We're going to be talking about a lot of this unstructured versus structured data over the coming episodes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Glad to be here.